Well, we want to welcome everyone that's joined us this morning. And Brother Mark Kennedy and Brother Carl Roberts have agreed to fill in this morning. I found out what the problem was. I had a problem with the E. coli virus, and it's spread to 8 states now and attacks the stomach, the bowels, and the urinary tract. And I'll tell you, it's the sickest I've been in a long time. But I'm glad that I'm starting to come out of it. I'm going to turn this over now to Brother Carl and Brother Mark here momentarily, and they're going to bring us the Word of God this morning. And I appreciate them filling in for us. And so with that, Brother Carl and Brother Mark, welcome aboard, and thanks for filling in this morning.
You got it, my brother. God bless you. So glad you're feeling better. It's an answer to prayer.
Yes, it is.
Good morning, Brother Carl. God bless you.
Good morning, Brother Mark. Yeah, Brother Larry, we're glad that you guys are better. We're really glad that you're feeling better. It's an answer to a prayer. Brother Mark, good morning to you as well. It's good to be in fellowship with you this morning.
Yes, always.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Going around the 8 states, huh, Brother Larry?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, praise God. All right, let's go. Go for it, Brother Carl.
What I thought we could do this morning is take a look at the story of Samson. Not the entire story, but what we'll do is we'll read the first chapter. We'll read chapter 13 in Judges, and we'll read chapter 16. Samson has always been one of my favorite accounts in Scripture. Samson himself, he's definitely one of the first people I want to meet whenever I get to heaven by the grace of God. The account of Samson is such a miraculous picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thought we could take a look at it together this morning, and by the grace of God, if He would be so gracious to us, to let us see our blessed Redeemer in Samson. So, Brother Mark, if you don't mind, yes, sir, if you don't mind, Brother Mark, would you read the first 12 verses of chapter 13, and then I'll read the remaining verses. And once you read your first 12, go ahead and make any comments that you would like, and then I'll make mine, and I'll read the other verses, and then we'll move. Then we'll make additional comments, and then we'll move to chapter 16.
Okay, first Judges chapter 13, right?
Yes, sir. Just read the first 12 verses, please.
Very good. Very good. Good morning to all of our saints listening in, wherever you may be in this big world that God has made. May Jehovah, the God of all comfort, who knows our needs before we pray, comfort you in this way and move you forward into His kingdom. All right, Judges chapter 13 in the Authorized King James Version. Verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Verse 2, and there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Verse 4, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Verse 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. Verse 7, but he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come against unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Verse 9, and God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. Verse 10, and the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Verse 11, and Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And then verse 12, and Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? All right, praise God. Well, this is very interesting here. The verse where they tell where the woman is told to drink no strong drink and eat no unclean thing. That's very interesting. That's what they tell women in pregnancy today. Don't drink alcohol and only eat good things like fruits and vegetables and stuff. And so that's very interesting. Now, this is very interesting. Let's see. Yeah, verse 5 here. This is very interesting. Verse 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That's interesting about no razor coming upon his head. That's interesting. That's an external sign of a spiritual. That's an external sign of a spiritual reality. And I agree with my brother Carl that Samson was used of God as an agent of physical redemption of Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And that is an archetype or a type or a picture of the ultimate sacrifice, of the ultimate rescue of the elect of humanity from sin and death and corruption. That's wonderful. That's a very relevant thing we're looking at today. Praise God.
Amen. Is there anything else, Brother Mark?
That's it. That's pretty good.
Brother Larry, would you have anything you'd like to add?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'd like to, but I don't. I'll let you guys carry on this morning if you would.
Okay. Well, just starting out here. Yeah. You know, and I think that it wasn't Samson's physical stature that gave him his strength. A lot of times we see in movies about Samson. And it's the same way with our Lord and Savior. They portray him physically incorrectly. And Samson is treated the same way. He is shown as like this massive bodybuilder or something. And clearly that's not the case. And this is displayed in the fact that we'll read later about no one knew what the source of his strength was. They were totally clueless to it. And as well, it's like with our Lord and Savior, it was said about him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There was nothing beautiful on the outside about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was rejected and despised by men, and Zora being barren, and then caused by God to conceive, this is a picture of salvation being totally of the Lord. Samson's birth, like our Lord and Savior, it is foretold of by an angel of the Lord. the only other person in the Old Testament that this happened with, I believe, was Isaac. And Sarah there was barren too. And again, this is a picture of the sovereignty of God and salvation being totally of the Lord. Samson is sanctified and set apart and made holy by God through the growing of his hair. And, this is a symbol of him being set apart by God. And this is where Samson got his strength from, because he was sanctified and set apart and made holy by the Lord God. In verse 5, like Brother Mark said, we're told in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when the angel speaks to Joseph, he says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Samson here being told, his mother being told, "And he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines," in verse 5. That is a clear picture of that. Let's see here. I think that's pretty much – there's so much here, in the story. It's so much here. In verse 11, it says, "And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? He said, I am." Could this be the divine name? Could this angel here of the Lord here be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Interesting.
It's very interesting. Picking up with verse 12, "And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thou sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shewed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Yes, in verse 23 here, we see that Zorah knows, she knew, because she'd been told the Lord that God is just, and that he would not charge them with sin because the sacrifice, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, and I believe Zorah and Manoah knew this, was accepted. So they knew that God was just, and they would not be charged with their sin because, like we read here, but his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. As they're looking on here, the angel of the Lord dances in the fire and ascends up into heaven. And Manoah says, and Manoah says, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. I wonder if they, these people, they had the prophecy from Genesis 3. They were waiting on the one to come. They were waiting on Shiloh. They were waiting on the Messiah to come and crush the head of their enemies. They were waiting on this. And I wonder what it was that they seen, if they caught a glimpse of the glory of God, which is salvation in our, you know, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that, I'll turn it over to Brother Mark for any comments, and then we'll move on to chapter 16.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you this morning. Yes, there is a lot happening in this chapter. That is very interesting how Manoah did not know that it was an angel of the Lord until he started the fire and the angel went up back to heaven from that fire in verse 20 and 21. That's very interesting. And that's when Manoah and his wife knew that it was not a human that was talking to them, but it was an angel from the Lord in heaven. And then he said to his wife, "We're going to die." But his wife spoke calm, reassuring words of reason to him. You know, why would God kill us? We just gave him a burnt offering. Why would he kill us? It's very reassuring to read this chapter and see the providence of God in it. It's really wonderful. And then in verse 24, the fulfillment of this message, this divine message, comes in verse 24, and she successfully gives birth to the son named Samson. And the child starts growing, and the Lord blesses him. And then as we get into this later chapters of Samson's life, we see all the things he went through. And so it's really a lot that we can learn from looking at all of this. And I thank you, Brother Carl, for choosing this message this morning. This is really very relevant to all of the saints of God.
Amen. Yes, and you know, in verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. You know, it reminds me of, you know, of the book of Genesis, you know, and Exodus, whenever the Lord leads the children of Israel into Egypt, into bondage, and then he delivers them out, you know, because he is sovereign. He's in, you know, he's in total control. And, you know, this is a perfect picture of, you know, that salvation is of the Lord and that he is in total control of everything that happens on this earth, everything. And I've always loved this story. Excuse me, I say story. I always love this account of Samson and his life. And I love, you know, reading scripture by the grace of God and seeing Christ in it. It's just, I mean, it's just so miraculous. So I guess let's just move to chapter 16. If you want to read the first 15 verses and make any comments, then I'll comment, and then I'll read the last 16 verses, and I'll comment, and you can comment, and then we can discuss, you know, the story as a whole, you know, if you like to, and just go from there.
Sounds good, Brother Carl. Sounds good. Anyway, welcome to all of our saints that may have joined us in the meantime between us starting and now. God bless you all. Okay, Judges chapter 16 in the Authorized King James Version, and I'll go from 1 to 16. Okay, verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight," verse 3, "and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gates of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Verse 5, "And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Verse 7, and Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Verse 8, then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Verse 9, now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. Verse 10, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Verse 11, and he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Verse 12, Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. Verse 14, and she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Okay, wow, there's really a lot in this chapter. This is where we see beginning to go wrong for Samson. He went down to Gaza in verse 1, and there he saw this woman of adultery, this harlot, and right away he starts going wrong. He went into her. And then in verse 2, the Gazites were told about this, saying that Samson has come here, and they laid in wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And they thought, oh, in the morning we'll get him and we'll kill him in the morning. And then in verse 3, we say Samson laid until midnight. And then at midnight, he got up and he took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the posts, and he literally ripped them out of the ground. I mean, that is incredible. And he took them away and he put them on his shoulders and he carried them up to the top of the hill in front of Hebron. That's amazing. And then in verse 4, it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Now, I don't know if this is the woman from the first couple of verses or this is somebody else, but Delilah was very interesting. She was not entirely upfront with Samson, as we see later on in this first half of the chapter here. So anyway, so the lords of the Philistines pulled her aside and said, look, we want to get this guy. You know, we'll give you lots of money. You know, it shows here the 1,100 pieces of silver from each one. We want to get this guy, so work this little scheme with us, and you'll be handsomely rewarded. See, that's the corrupting influence of unrighteous mammon for wicked schemes right there. Isn't that amazing? And then in verse 6, she starts in on him. Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy strength lies, and how can we afflict thee? And then Samson gives him, and I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think he knew what she was trying to do. And so we see it goes through the three episodes where she inquires, you know, how can we bind you and afflict you? And he tells her three phony stories every time. And then there it shows that they were lying in wait in the very chamber. And then she calls out, Samson, the Philistines are on thee. And he just snaps each thing off the green cords, the fresh ropes. And then what was the third thing? Something about a spider web or something. But this is so instructive and a warning to us, you know, that we should be careful lest, you know, we think we stand, we must make sure of that, you know, that we should take caution to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So this is such an instructive story that we should, you know, take heed. If we think we stand in the ways of God, we should take heed lest we fall. So this is really quite relevant to all times. Thank you, Brother Carl, and God bless you.
Amen. Yes, sir. And I want to be real careful here because people might misunderstand what I'm saying here. But I believe that Samson here is a clear picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And verse 1, where it says that he went to Gaza and saw a harlot and went into her, this is a picture of Christ receiving sinners.
Mm.
All right? That's what we are. All right? I mean, you know, Christ came to save and seek out that which was lost. And he came to save sinners, prostitutes, murderers, thieves, drunks, demonically possessed people. And this is a picture of that. In verse 3, where he takes the gates and carries him off with him, you know, Christ tells Peter, he says, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is a picture of that.
Amen.
Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ carrying away the gates of hell. And the gates of hell being a defensive position, not on the offense. But as pictured here in gates of hell, and does away with them. In verse 4, it says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And I tend to think as well, Brother Mark, that this isn't the same woman in verse 1.
Right.
It says that he loved her. He says he loved Delilah. And Delilah being, now she's a picture of several things. She's a picture of Judas in the betrayal of Christ as she betrays Samson here. But she's also a picture of us. She's a picture of the church. Like Samson loved her, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
Okay? And Samson knew what she was going to do, but because he loved her, in spite of what she was going to do, he still chose to love her, just like Christ does with us. Despite knowing what we are, and what we are sinners. All right, he still loves us.
Amen.
All right. You know, the fact that Samson loved Gentiles, you know, she was a Gentile woman. You know, this is a picture of, you know, Christ bringing salvation to the Gentiles. As we read here in, you know, through verses 6 down through 13, there's three particular times where she asks Samson the source of his strength, and he doesn't tell her. And whenever she cries out, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, and they come in there to get him, Samson does away with them. All right, this is a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. You see, there are several times in the Gospels where the Jews lay their hands on Christ to kill him, but his hour had not come yet, and he doesn't let them, right?
Right.
Like in Luke chapter 4, verses 28 through 30. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way.
Amen.
You know, I believe that, you know, Samson knew Delilah would betray him, just like Christ knows, you know, who it was that would betray him in Judas Iscariot. But Samson, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he still gave himself over to be delivered up. And this is pictured in Samson telling Delilah the source of his strength. You know, and also right here where it says, let me pull up Matthew chapter 26, Brother Mark, verses 36 through 38.
Matthew 26.
Right. Yes, sir. 26. Verses 36 through 38. All right.
Matthew 36 to 38.
Right. Okay. So in verse 16 here, in Judges 16:16, this is what we read. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. All right.
And let's
look here in Matthew, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what it says about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And that's what we're told here about Samson, that his soul was vexed unto death. And this is a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Very good. Very good.
So I will pick up from verse. No, sir. Yes, sir. You just go ahead. Go ahead and say what's on your mind.
You doing okay, Brother Larry?
I'm hanging in there. And the beautiful picture you're painting for us this morning of the type of Christ represented in Samson, and I'm enjoying this. I don't think I've ever heard a message quite like this, and I find it very enlightening.
Yes. Well, thank you, brother. God bless you. Okay, we're going to finish the last half of 16 now, starting at verse 16. Down to verse 31. Okay, verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, right, there it is again, so that his soul was vexed unto death. So she kept pressing him and pressing and pressing and pressing. So, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Verse 17, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that, verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come upon this once, for he hath shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Verse 19, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. ouch, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Verse 23, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. Verse 24, and when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, verse 25, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Verse 26, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Verse 27, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, this only once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. Verse 30, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Verse 31, then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Wow, this is very interesting. Okay, well, praise God. So, she continues, you know, we see here in verse 15 and verse 16, she continues to bug him, so to speak, so that his soul was vexed unto death, just like Jesus in the Matthew chapter that we just looked at. And so finally, you know, because he loved her, and, you know, whether or not this love was misplaced or not, I don't know, but he finally, after the three stories of artifice where he told her something that wasn't true, he finally, you know, tells her the truth. And now why he would do that, I don't know. So he finally tells her in verse 17, there has not, a razor has not been on my head, because I have been vowed a Nazarite from my birth, from my mother's womb. And if my head is shaved, then my strength will go. And then, so we see here in verse 18, and when she finally knows the truth, she sends and calls for those who put her up to this deceptive work in the first place, and which is none other than the Philistines, of course. And so she tells them, come up here now, because he has finally told me, you know. And then in verse 19, it says she made him sleep upon her knees. Now, how? I don't know how that could be. I don't know how she could do that. But it says she made him go to sleep upon her knees, and then she called for the head shaver guy. And they did it, and they cut off the seven locks of his head. And then here in verse 20, She says the same thing that she did those first three times. Samson, the Philistines are on you. Wake up, wake up. And he wakes up out of his sleep and says, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. And he knew not, or he wist not. That means he knew not that the Lord had was departed for him. But the Philistines got him this time, because this fourth time and final time, Samson very foolishly told her the secret of his strength. And I think that was a very foolish thing for him to do. I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion. So they got him and took his sight from him, his physical sight, by putting out his eyes. Whew, that must have hurt. So, and they took him and they bound him with fetters of brass. And he was in the prison house, you know, and he did grind in the prison house, it says. And so, verse 22, when he was in the prison house, it says his hair started to grow again. So that means that he must have been there for at least 6 months or a year or two. You know, when your hair starts growing again, it's been a while since the last haircut. I need to get a haircut myself. So, let's see. Oh, yes. And then in verse 23, the lords of the Philistines, you know, said, oh, it's party time. We got Samson, our enemy. Time to sacrifice to Dagon, our god. And it's party time. You know, see, because they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And so, and then it goes through this whole long rest of the chapter where they were having a wonderful time, and they thought, oh, let's get Samson out of the prison house and mock him and sport with him, our captured enemy. And then he says to the person taking him by the hand, where was that? A lad guiding him by the hand because his sight had been taken. And he tells this lad, put my hands on these pillars, little boy leading me by the hand. Put my hand on these pillars, the central pillars of the house. And then we see Samson praying to God, dear Jehovah, one last time, let me die with these people. Give me strength one last time to do this magnificent thing for you. And I think that's definitely a picture of Christ going to the cross. Absolutely. And so Samson is standing there with his eyes gouged out, with his hand, one hand on the left pillar of the central pillar of the house, and his other hand, his right hand, on the right central pillar of his house, just one time with all his strength, one last time. And he pushes the pillars down, and the house collapses and kills them all, and Samson, and it says that, where was that, in verse 33, verse 30, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. And it says, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his entire life. That is amazing. And that also, I think, is a picture of the ultimate sacrifice and atonement of Christ, that Samson, in this one final act of greatness, killed more people, you know, than he did in his whole life. It's just, what an amazing story. And we see so many archetypes of the ultimate sacrifice of Christ in this story, in this whole story. What an amazing story, you know, how so many things in Samson's life looked like total disaster. And then he looks up to God and says, one last time, let me do something great for you, Jehovah, one last time. And we see so many similarities between this and the life of Christ, you know, where things in Christ's life looked like total disaster, but it was total victory. And of course, of course, when Christ was put up on that cross, it looked like total defeat. But praise God, victory was snatched out of the jaws of defeat in the sovereign plan of Jehovah. Isn't it amazing?
Amen. It's quite miraculous. I mean, it's such a wonderful picture of our blessed Redeemer. You know, in 15 and 16, where we read about his, you know, him being vexed in verse 16 unto death, like our Lord and Savior was contemplating the cup that he was fixing to drink, the wrath of God, on behalf of his elect, on behalf of his bride. That's clearly pictured here in verses 15 and 16. And once, you know, Samson's hour had come and he knew it, he told Delilah the truth, where his strength lie. He knew he would be betrayed, just like our Lord and Savior did. He knew it.
Yep.
But he still gave himself over because he loved his bride and he gave himself for it. We read that in verse 22, that the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You know, we read in Scripture that the gifts and the calling of God, they're without repentance.
Amen.
And what may seem like something that's very foolish to us was not foolish at all. This was in the divine purpose of God Almighty. He was the one who ultimately softened Samson's heart and had him tell her his strength. And God himself delivered Samson over to the Philistines, which is a representation of our sin. And just like Satan working through the Jews, they led our Lord and Savior to be crucified upon the cursed tree, where ultimately Satan would be defeated. And he didn't realize it. He didn't know that him working through Judas Iscariot and these people and putting our blessed Lord and Savior, you know, up on the cursed tree would cause his defeat, just like these people here didn't, right? And, you know, these people, they say to themselves, you know, in verse 25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house and made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. They ridiculed him and mocked him, just like the Jews and Satan did our Lord and Savior. But what they also did was they led our Lord and Savior to the cross, where they would be defeated, where Satan and sin and death would be defeated. They had no idea. These people had no idea what they were doing. They led Samson to these pillars, just like our Lord and Savior was led to the cross. All right.
Amen.
Just like he was led to the cross. All right.
Amen.
And in verse 26, Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. This was all in the divine purpose of God. Even the prophecy that was given to his parents, where it says in chapter 1 that he's going to begin to deliver his people from the Philistines. All right, this is a culmination, a fulfillment of that prophecy that we're reading about right here. Verse 27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lord of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. While Christ was on the cross and being mocked, he bore the full weight, as pictured in here, with the house being full of all the sin of his elect laid upon his shoulders. In verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistine for my two eyes. This is Christ crying out to the Father.
Amen.
My God, why have thou forsaken me? And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. So he has both arms extended. And this is Christ crucified with his arms stretched out upon the cursed tree. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. This is Christ defeating sin and death on behalf of his elect. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. And here's Christ being taken down off the cross and carried into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. So Samson delivering his people from their enemies through his death, you know, is just as our Lord and Savior defeated our enemies for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And this was all in the divine decree of God. And what you know, looks like foolishness to us, was all in the divine purpose of God. And I just think this has always been one of my favorite stories, favorite accounts in Scripture. It's one of my favorite pictures of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's so much here. We didn't even touch on, we just scratched the surface here, but it sure was a blessing to do it.
Amen, brother. You got that right. A total blessing. Yes, the similarities between this story of Samson, a type and a forerunner of Christ, and Christ, and the similarities in the events of their time on this earth are unmistakably clear. Yes, so Samson is definitely an archetype and a picture of Christ and his temporal salvation of the Israelites from the Philistines points to the ultimate sacrifice and atonement of Christ, wherein he rescues his elect saints given to him by the Father before the foundation of the world, rescues them miraculously from sin, death, and corruption. What an amazing victory snatched from the jaws of defeat this is.
Amen, Brother Mark. Brother Larry, do you have anything you like to add?
That was a real blessing, and the good Lord was certainly with both of you this morning. And I was thinking, I agree with you, Brother Carl, that representation of the angel of the Lord in the fire reminded me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And one was like unto the Son of God in the fire. But no, I really have appreciated this, and it shows how God has demonstrated himself over and over and over again, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, in the completed work of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I had never seen the archetypes as many as there are in this account of Samson's life, and so I appreciate you bringing that to our attention, and the good Lord was certainly with you guys this morning.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. And we are glad you're feeling better.
Well, yeah, it's still touch and go, but you know, like I said, I know that the major problem has been taken care of. Now it's just getting the strength back. Tonight, do you brothers have something that you can bring this evening?
I was doing some early scripture reading early this morning, about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I came across a real interesting story in 2 Kings Chapter 1, I think it was, that I'd like to talk about tonight. 2 Kings, chapter 1.
Great. Well, I'm sure glad the Lord has laid something on your heart. And I welcome to hear what you have to say to us tonight, brother. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was doing some daily readings early this morning with my little Bible Gateway app on my iPad. I listen to the word as I read it, and it makes a double impact that way. And so I do that in my daily readings. And so came across a real interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 1. And I thought maybe we could look at that tonight if you're okay with that, Brother Carl.
Oh, yes, sir. That's fine. Whatever you want to do. We'll work with it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes. Did you wanted to say something else, Brother Carl?
I was just going to close with some scripture here. It's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 through 13, in the Authorized King James Version only.
1 Corinthians 13, 11 to 13?
Yes, sir.
Very good, very good.
It says, verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
That's wonderful. That is a wonderful verse. And of course, we know that charity is another word for love. And so it's amazing. Right, Brother Carl?
Yes, sir. I believe it's talking about love amongst the brother.
Yes, exactly. I concur 100%. Yes. Christian unity, this wonderful Christian unity that we have, something that the world could never have. We have, and it is so blessed. And we don't go, we got something that you don't have. No, because it's not of our own. It's from Jehovah, our Heavenly Father. So it's and so blessed that we have something that is from the Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, and we call no man on earth our Father. And so it's such a blessing. And, you know, it's what sets apart the things that Jehovah has bestowed upon us is what differentiates us from the world. You know, we are in the world, yes, but we are not of this world. We belong to a higher order of spiritual things because of the bestowal of Jehovah upon us. Now, isn't that wonderful?
Amen. It sure is, brother. And like the word tells us, you know, what do we have that hasn't been given to us? You know, and we have no room to boast about any of it.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you and me, us three, like you were telling me the other day, Brother Carl, I reminded, you know, that you and me and Brother Larry, I'm reminded of that proverb, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So I just praise God for you brothers in my life. And I am so looking forward to September when we can all be together at least for a day or two. All right.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Praise God. Anything else, Brother Carl?
Well, that's it. I'll just say to Brother Larry and Sister Rosette and Brother Mark Phillips and you, you know, that, you know, me and Babs, we love you guys, and we're glad that Brother Larry's feeling better. It's an answer to a prayer, and
definitely.
We'll see y'all this evening.
All right. Yes, I love you. And let's have our announcements now.
Okay, well, I want to thank all the people who've joined us on Facebook. We have had some new people come on board. Joseph Golzar, Alan Royal has been with us before. Javid Jacob's been with us before. Oscar Grace has been with us before. We're thankful for all of the comments that were made. Eva Indies, Bashir Shilahan, we thank all of you. And we will be on this evening, and we will also be again on Wednesday night. And then we'll be back with you next Sunday. So we hope you all have a blessed afternoon, and Brother Mark Kennedy is going to be addressing us this evening. We'll be back with you at 6 o'clock, and hope you have a blessed afternoon. And with that, I'll go ahead and end the broadcast.
Love you, brothers.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Rosette, Mark, love you guys. Call you later, Brother Carl. Yeah.
All right.
Same to you, Sister Babs. God bless you as well.